Hello, and thanks for coming to my poster today, where I'm going to talk about how I used PTOF and WRF data to infer the dhelium-3 S factor from ICF implosions. My poster is in slide format, so I'll kind of talk through the slides. On slide 2 is a list of my collaborators and sponsors. Big thanks to all of them. Slide 3, I'm showing what the actual definition of the S factor is. And the main thing that it does is remove strong energy dependencies from nuclear cross-sections. So on the right, you can see an example in the top plot where the dhelium-3 cross-section is varying over many orders of magnitude in this energy range, where the S factor only varies by a factor of 3 or 4. On slide 4, you can see an example of the type of data we're working with. This is a proton spectrum measured using the wedge range filter or WRF diagnostics, which are compact spectrometers regularly fielded on the NIF. This shot was a early Bigfoot implosion, N150809, where the aerial density or rho R was low enough that we measured a substantial fraction of the proton spectrum. The dhelium-3 protons are emitted at 14.7 MeV and then get downshifted. The peak towards the right of the spectrum is the shock peak, or protons emitted near shock flash, where the rho R is slightly lower. Then towards the left, we have a larger amplitude broad peak, which is from the primary compression yield. Slide 5 shows how I took this partial spectrum and used it to infer the actual proton yield. On the left is showing the rho R evolution history that I fit to the data, in addition to constraints from the measured DD neutron emission history using the PTOF diagnostic, which was able to capture the time between shock and compression, putting strong constraints on this rho R evolution. On the right is the resulting fit and the proton yield I inferred from this data. On slide 6 is some data that we also collected on Omega back in 2004. In this Omega data, we can see that the entire proton spectrum was captured. Slide 7 shows how we're going to get at this S factor from our ICF data. And in this case, what we're going to do is start by looking at the reactivity. And to get a reactivity, we're going to scale it from the DD neutron reactivity. So using a uniform plasma model, the dhelium-3 proton reactivity can be inferred from the DD neutron value based on the yield ratio and initial species fractions in the implosions. On the right, I'm showing a plot from a paper I published early last year showing that the largest uncertainty we might expect from using this uniform model is of order 10%. On slide 8, I'm showing how we go from reactivities to S factors. So the equation on the left shows how I'm calculating the S factor from the reactivity, and this is based off of assuming the S factor is varying slowly, and then using that to integrate over the thermal distribution and getting a rough estimate of how the reactivity and S factor are related. On the right is the results of applying this to our data, and we see that the S factor for the NIF and Omega data seems to agree quite well with the value roughly in the shaded box. Slide 9, I'm showing how this compares to fairly accepted values from accelerator experiments. So this is the Bosch-Hale parameterization, which is an R matrix fit to accelerator data, a parameterization of an R matrix fit. And we can see that the ICF-based inference here is much smaller than the value from these accelerator experiments, and we're kind of trying to investigate this discrepancy. So if you go to slide 10, there's a few different things that we've looked into at this point. So flows, which would affect our measurement of the temperature and therefore the S factor, could be playing a role. However, the necessary amplitude would be too large to be physical. The impact of temperature profiles, which would actually increase the dhelium-3 temperature relative to DD, would actually increase the discrepancy. Species separation caused by diffusion of deuterium out of the shell would actually increase the discrepancy as well. And then the final point here is potential electron screening effects. So in an accelerator-based experiment, there are bound electrons, which screen the accelerated ions, which are colliding with your target. And the accelerator data is corrected for this effect. However, the models used to correct haven't been very well validated. However, the level of discrepancy that's required would be quite large, so we're not sure if this is possible. We want to do further synthetic data studies to confirm the accuracy of this result. And if anybody out there has any suggestions for effects we could look into, it would be greatly appreciated. I look forward to your questions and comments. Thank you.